One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today. And get your old self back naturally.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
This episode and the entire year of episodes is proudly brought to you by California Cryo Bank. Go to cryobank.com and use code LOVEISLOVE and get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Start making those babies and then come tell me about them. Thank you, California Cryo Bank.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
We put them on pedestals, right? Because they're our donors.
Right.
So when
right.
you know the donor, you're reminded that he's just a dude. Our donor is constantly late. 30 minutes. Guaranteed. We tell him the wrong time for places. We're going to let him be at the next private ultrasound. Mm-hmm. Ashley will literally tell him an hour before the appointment and we'll see if he's still on time. So not on a pedestal, definitely. Just a dude that was just super helpful. Just a dude that only has obligations to our kid.
Welcome, my loves, to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. I'm Jamie. I'm your gay host. And this is the show that highlights, celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA families and all of our beautiful identities. And y'all, I have a really great conversation that I'm sharing with you today. I had such a great time sitting down and chatting with Caitlin. Caitlin's a lesbian mom with a little known donor story. And we get into kind of like all of the logistics that go with known donors and also the layers that come with it, like paternal grandparents wanting to be involved and things like that. So I think you're going to really enjoy this conversation. But I want to tell you a little something about this conversation as well, because let me tell you, every once in a while, when I do these interviews, the interview feels less like an interview and more like a powwow, a chat between old friends. And this is one of those. We had a really great time. We laughed a lot. It was super fun. And with that comes a lot of derailing, getting off topic. And poor Gerson, my editor, had a lot of work with this one because we had to cut a lot of the content out just because it wasn't in line with what we were supposed to be talking about. It's still a wonderful bomb episode and you're going to love it, but there was a lot of cut content. And what I'm going to do for y'all, because the cut content is funny, there's a lot of funny stories, I'm going to put those all up on Patreon. So this week, go to my Patreon page, patreon.com, The Queer Family Podcast. If you're not already subscribed, go ahead and subscribe. And you're going to see the cut content. And there's a story in there about how my 3-year-old started conjugating the word fuck. It's a classic in our house. And another classic in our house, the story about when my fertility doctor told me I had chlamydia, which I didn't. That's a classic in our house too. And some of Caitlin's fun story. So there's some fun content over there on Patreon for you to watch too, because I didn't want to get rid of it completely. So now that's there for y'all. It's fun. It's fun stuff. But I'm really excited to share this episode with you this week. And I think that, I don't know about all of you, but I think things have been heavy of late, as we know, in the world and also personally with me. Things are heavy. And I think we need a little moment of brevity. I think we need to lighten up a little bit. So this is a nice, fun episode that's going to make you smile and laugh. And we could all use that right now. Am I right? I think so. All right. So I'm going to roll this tape. I have yammered on long enough, and I want you to hear the fun. So, Gerson, please. Oh, Helen Beulah. I almost forgot my fake assistants. Helen, you got to get up, honey. You got to get up. You got to put the cigarette down. I told you no smoking in my house, Helen. There is no smoking here. I have children. Also, I don't like cigarettes. Helen, not real. Nobody. I have nobody. I'm all alone here except Kira, the house hippo, who just lays around and stares at me, which is what she's doing right now. All right. Helen, Beulah, Kira, house hippo, roll that tape.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hi.
It is... It's great having you here. Everybody listening right now, we've already been talking for like 20 minutes just about random stuff. We're getting along great. This is very fun. But I have a feeling this might be one of those interviews that derails from time to time. And it's going to be okay. It's going to be great, Caitlin. It's going to be great. Yeah.
It's going to be great.
And we both have a daughter named Rose, which we were talking about, which is also super exciting.
It's super cute.
It is super cute. All right, Caitlin, you already told me you don't have this prepared and you are an active and avid listener. It is time for your 30-second elevator pitch. Are you ready? And it doesn't matter if you are or not. I'm going to count you in. On your mark, get set, go.
My name is Caitlin. I met my wife 16 years ago, so we've been together for a minute. We met at PetSmart. We're dog groomers. That's also where we met our donor, who is also a dog groomer. It took us 6 years to make our little one. We went to the clinic and did at-home insemination, and we just met his parents.
But what? 24 seconds.
Ah, how's that?
That was amazing.
Yeah.
And you weren't prepared, and you knew you had to do it. So that is great. And you really checked. Do you identify as lesbian?
Yes. Millennial lesbian.
Well, you just checked like so many lesbian boxes in that elevator pitch. Dog groomers, met at the dog groomers, your donor's a dog groomer. And you also told me before we started recording that you have like a lot of animals in your home and surrounding area.
Yes. Lots of animals everywhere. At one point, we had 5 pugs.
We're
down to 1.
Oh.
And 2 cats.
Oh, wow.
We're going to do kids instead of... Instead of pugs, we're doing kids now.
You get a downsize on the animals for a bit. Okay, so you've checked a lot of lesbian boxes. Let's see how many more lesbian boxes we could check while we talk.
I have a really good one.
Oh, okay.
I proposed to her in the first 3 months and she said no.
So you tried to U-Haul it.
I tried to U-Haul it. It was the November of Prop 8. So November 2008. When we were allowed to get married for 6 months in California.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you're in California?
We're in California. So we're in San Diego.
Ah, okay.
And so I've taken her up to the Bay Area twice. We love that drive.
Oh, I love Highway 1.
Can't beat it.
Can't beat it. Love that. I love that shiz. All right, Caitlin, let's talk about it. So y'all met 16 years ago. You proposed right away. She said no, but eventually you did end up getting married, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Let's just get right into like... family building, okay? Like, when did talk of baby making enter your relationship? I imagine it's right around the time you met.
I brought it up really, really like in the beginning. And she said, no. She was like, absolutely not. She was like, this is not for us. I don't want to do this. I don't see this. This isn't like for me. Oh. And a couple years in, I was like, I'm still going to marry this person. Like, this is, it was amazing, you know, when you meet somebody that like hears you and you hear them.
Except and you like, didn't hear her on, well, on the whole no kiss thing.
No, but I had help. My sister got pregnant and gave us a nephew.
Ah, and did that change your mind?
Yeah, it did. He was perfect. He was exactly what I needed to make my case.
Okay. And then she was like, all right, yes.
And then she was like, okay, this is, he's kind of cool. She was like, and then maybe eight years, we've been married for 10 now, because we got married after the Oberfield decision. 11, congrats. 12, 13, and it's 40. So 11 years ago, it took us about 6 years to get pregnant.
Did you start trying right away or how?
We didn't. It took us almost 2 years to find our donor.
Let's talk about that conversation, because finally she gets on board. And then what's the conversation surrounding how you're going to do it? Because as you know, there are so many ways we can go about making our families.
So we kind of kicked it around. And like, you know, that there weren't a lot of resources for us. This is like the early 2010s, right? So we had the Lesbian Guide to Conception, which was an out of print book that I had to get from like a used bookstore.
Atta girl. We just checked another box. Yes.
At a used bookstore.
We checked it.
Right.
You know, I got married at a used bookstore. Go ahead.
Did you really?
Sure did.
Okay. So we got married on a cliff in La Jolla.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Very San Diego.
Yeah. Very California.
We were looking at sperm banks, and I'm a redhead. My mom's a redhead. My birth grandfather is a redhead. So there's like this whole redhead line.
Yeah.
That like I really wanted. My brother has auburn hair. So I wanted a redhead. So we were looking at banks, and just like donors of color, redheads are not necessarily high on the list.
Interesting.
And we were worried about sibling pod. We were worried about price. I think we saved for about 6 years. We saved up about $20,000, and we spent almost all of that
on
just the whole journey.
Yeah, like when all was said and done. Yeah,
that was like our price point. Yeah, like the clinic, kind of when everything was said and done. We spent 6 years and spent it in literally 7 cycles.
It's insanity.
Fast.
Yeah.
So I looked at a handful of banks. My spouse is Jewish. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of hoping maybe we could find a redheaded Jewish donor. That didn't happen. So we kind of looked to some of our friends. So we had two offer. We asked one. And then we asked our donor.
Interesting.
So the first one thought about it for 6 months and got a vasectomy.
What?
Before he even gave us the answer. He was like, no, I got a vasectomy. It's not for me. And we were like, wait.
You could have told us that. Like,
we waited 6 months.
Oh, my God. What the fuck?
And then the other one wanted money.
Oh.
And we didn't want that to be part of our journey. If we were going to buy from a sperm bank, that's part of that. But if we were going to ask a friend, we didn't want that to be part of like that exchange.
It feels a little smarmy to begin with. And then like.
And like his wife offered.
Oh.
And then he asked for money. So we were like, no.
And then in my head, I'd be thinking, okay, well, what's the next thing he's going to ask?
Right.
Like, where did we draw the line here?
Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of weird. So that pretty much shut us down for them. And then we had a great friend who actually took photos at our wedding, who offered her husband. And he said yes.
All these women just offering up their husbands.
I know. I don't understand why straight women do this. It's okay. We'll take it. We love them. They support us. Right. And these were all redheads. We knew four of them. So he lived in Tennessee. And at the time, not every state tests their sperm to be sent out of state.
Oh.
Right. So in Tennessee, Tennessee wants to keep its Tennessee babies in Tennessee. So they don't send sperm out of state. Because they don't do all of the testing, or at least at the time, the Tennessee bank that he was going to didn't want to send the sperm out to San Diego.
And why did you want to get the sperm tested?
just because he would have to bank it in Tennessee and then ship it out to California.
You wanted to make sure that it would stay viable, or that it was?
Well, it's just the process. We even had to bank our donor. The donor we ended up using banked twice locally at our local clinic.
The sperm was going to go through a clinic.
So our first round of trying to conceive was at a San Diego fertility clinic, like a
with
clinic,
his
and we banked
sperm.
It with him. Yeah. So
how'd you get the sperm then?
So we never got the Tennessee donor. It never happened. We couldn't facilitate it. And it would have cost us the same amount of money to ship him physically out here to bank for us as it would have been to just buy 7 vials from a clinic. You know, like, it was kind of a wash.
You're so much smarter, though, because I was like, what if you fly out there and then you bring the sperm back with you? Because how are you going to bring the sperm back with you?
No, because what they didn't want to do a queer couple. And once they figured out that we had a Tennessee person banking for a queer couple in San Diego, they almost completely shut us down.
Wow, Tennessee.
Total discrimination. Yeah, he was in Tennessee at the time.
So it was Tennessee that wouldn't...
Totally shut that process down.
Holy shit. Okay.
Isn't that crazy? So I don't know if their laws have changed since then. Remember, this would have been 2017 at this point.
Right, which is not that
Do you know what
ago.
I mean? Right? And we got married in 13. So from 13 to 17, we're still trying to figure out where our donor is coming from.
Yeah, so you still don't have a donor.
And we were super frustrated and we were really cranky. And our donor called us before we started our group project. That's what we call Rose. It's our group project. We would go have our donor's gay. Uh-huh. Also, I've actually known his partner longer than I've known my wife.
Uh-huh.
So we'd have dinner with him twice a year, you know, like when we stopped working together. I didn't actually know our donor very personally. He worked with Ashley for 8 years.
Ashley's your wife.
Ashley's my wife. Mm-hmm. So I only knew him like in passing, like, oh, that's the guy at work. And,
right.
But I
the
knew his husband. Right. So he's auburn hair. So we took a chance. But like at that point, like, he checked all the other boxes and he looked like he had redhead skin. So I jumped.
So we didn't talk about who was going to carry. I'm assuming Ashley was going to carry.
Oh, I carried.
Oh, you carried.
I carried red hair. I carried.
Oh, so
I'm carrying
you wanted,
both of them.
Oh, you wanted double.
Ashley wants nothing to do with uterus expansion.
Gotcha. And you just wanted to really, really, really have a surefire way of getting a redhead.
Yeah. And you saw her. It worked.
It worked. Well, I mean, you've stacked it all in your favor.
I totally stacked this. My wife was very clear that she didn't want to carry from the start, and which is sad because she has beautiful blue eyes.
You could have got a donor with beautiful blue eyes.
He does. Rose has hazel green.
Oh, beautiful. See, this is the thing. We, you know, the doctors all say, check medical first, go to medical first. I did not do medical first. I was like, well, this is what I want him to look like. Like, we get crazy. It's the search for the superhuman.
It's so hard. So we were exhausted from the whole process. And he called us. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'll do it. And we're like, shut the fuck up. No, you won't.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. And then he did absolutely everything that we asked from that point on.
Wow.
He was like, and they used to joke about it at work. Because like their work spouses, I always kind of work alone. I'm a mobile dog groomer. I don't have coworkers. I've never had like a work wife.
I don't have one of those either. Kira, the dog, is
so,
my work
yeah,
wife.
Yeah, Kira is your work wife. So so they're like, so, and none of our friends know unless they hear this. Mm-hmm. But like, it'll make sense to all of their coworkers when it gets out. But because they're like inseparable. Like they get each other. They're both super sarcastic. I never know when either one of them is joking or telling the truth. They're like,
they really get along well.
They super duper get along.
Okay. Let's delve into this, though. The donor relationship.
He did his own thing. Like, he did everything for the clinic. He did psych evals. We had to get him tested a couple times. Mm-hmm. We did genetic testing. We did genetic counseling. We did absolutely everything because we went through a clinic in 2017 to 18.
Did his stuff have to be like quarantined for?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So his first sample was not very good, which was really frustrating because they immediately came back to us and they're like, "You need to use a new donor." And we were like, "This is not happening. We're married to him. This is not happening." We found not out literally, later. But... right. But like pretty much, like this is now our path. It's the three of us. This is what's happening. Mm-hmm. And we found out that his father was sick at the time. Oh. So we waited 6 weeks. He slept well and drank water, gave us perfect samples from there on out.
Okay. All right. And then they freeze it at a clinic. They quarantine it.
He's queer too. And he's obviously not married to us. So we had to quarantine for 6 months before we could use it. And then when he did his second deposit, they had to quarantine him. And they made him get naked both times.
Wait,
because
what?
They had to check him.
For what? What?
I don't know, but he was very distraught about it.
Because he's gay?
Yeah, I guess.
What? I have never heard of this.
I've never heard of a straight couple having to have like a physical exam when they did a deposit in a sperm bank.
Like, was it like a monkeypox situation?
I don't know. I have no idea. This man is in a committed relationship. Yeah. He said that they made him do a physical.
That is some BS.
You've interviewed at least two other people that use the same clinic we did, and they had very different experiences than we did. Oh. And both of them did IVF. Mm-hmm. And we did IUIs only. IVF was never in our price point range.
Yeah.
And I really feel like that affected my care. I never got pregnant at the clinic. Mm-hmm. So I did 7 cycles, all various medication types. It was really crazy. They took me off my ADHD meds with no weaning because you have to do that to be at the clinic. So I ended up not staying employed that year.
Oh, shit.
Which is okay. It's right, just part of like the overall story of the experience of the clinic. He did his stuff, which was perfect. We got 16 vials. Like it's $700 a vial.
Yeah, you can sell that and make a fortune.
I know. He's like, I could have made how much money? No. He actually, in his donor contract with us, he can't donate to anybody else.
Let's talk about that donor contract. How'd you go about creating your donor contract? What were the main sticking points for you that you put into this donor contract? Because it's different for everyone.
So I took the book, the Lesbian Guide. So we kind of wrote our own at first because we were moving forward with the Tennessee donor. So much so that we actually called in a lawyer from San Diego. So we interviewed 3 lawyers, which I suggest for everybody looking to second parent adopt donor contract. Doesn't matter if you're doing it for conception. Interview 3 lawyers for whatever legal needs you need and pick one.
That's good advice. Okay. I like
that
advice.
So we did like 2 in Carlsbad and we ended up going with 1 in San Diego who had been practicing queer family law for 20 years.
And are they used to that? Are they used to you being like, listen, I want to come talk to you?
Yeah. That's what we were told to do.
Interesting.
For sure.
I am so afraid to like be like, I don't know if I want to go with you, but you know,
you get a 20-minute conversation.
Right.
Like demand it because we ended up going with somebody who I have on the Connecting Rainbows website. She's listed for San Diego on that.
Which is also a great resource.
Yes. We like Gina.
Yeah.
So she wrote the donor contract for the donor in Tennessee. And the second we switched gears, she just flawlessly did it with us.
Ah.
Our sticking point was no donations outside our family. Mm-hmm. Our sticking point was donations for either one of us and multiple pregnancies with no cap.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, he gave you 16 vials, so...
He ended up doing 2 deposits, and it was 16 over the course of 2 of them. We went through 17, and then he did a second deposit, and then we stopped going to the clinic and destroyed the samples.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because, you know, we're not giving them to anybody.
Right.
And he's not giving them to anybody. So we ended up, we kind of spent our 20 grand, and I was exhausted. I mean, Jamie, I did like 7 cycles almost back to back.
Yeah, and that takes a lot on you. And you're off your ADHD meds. And I wonder, I'm just thinking about like non-queer folks who just randomly get pregnant from one night after a crazy night at a bar. Like, do they stay on their ADHD meds?
I have a friend who is in a heterosexual couple, and she stayed on her ADD meds with her obstetrician. So really, this was just a requirement of the clinic that really had no basis in my personal need. And then we just found out that I have an auditory processing disorder. Mm. So taking away the extra meds really just, and I'm a people pleaser before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. The pandemic was actually amazing for us. It let us put up boundaries. I opened a business. I got pregnant. I did like all these amazing things in the isolation of that 18 months that we all
were stuck in.
So it was difficult going off the meds. So you just interviewed that couple in Scotland, and I really hear her when she says, like, your mental health is, you need to make sure that these people don't bully us out of our meds.
You need to stand up for yourself. And I, particularly me, I have the hardest time sticking up for myself, particularly in a medical situation. I am such a coward.
We feel like we don't know.
Right.
We
right.
feel I just, uninformed.
And I just automatically, I start crying.
That's unfair.
And then that's embarrassing.
Oh my God.
Because
me too.
That's my go-to is it, even though I'm feeling anger, it's tears. It comes out in tears. And then they're like, oh, sweetheart, don't cry. And then that just makes me more mad, which makes me cry harder. Like
I'm actually unmedicated now, but that's because I opened my own business and I've been able to set myself up for success.
Okay, good. Good.
But when I was on the fertility treatments and I was taken off my meds, I had no coping mechanisms and I was working within other people's systems trying to survive. So it was really not a great year for me. I had a lot of body dysmorphia, and I never deviated from my 32-day cycle.
Right.
I never had a chemical pregnancy. I never had.
You were just very.
There was just fucking nothing.
Yeah.
And I know that other people go to the clinics and they experience that there's just nothing. Beautiful follicles, lots of follicles. I had a month where I was over-medicated, made too many follicles, and they canceled the cycle.
Oh, because you made too many.
I made too many. I had like 6 follicles and they're like, well, we're not inseminating you.
Thanks, guys. I know, it's so annoying. And then with all of that, you didn't have a success, which is even more frustrating.
No, we didn't have any success at the clinic.
I can relate to you because I went through something similar.
Yeah, you went through a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, so, baby, out of your mouth.
There is a child in the room for the listeners. Oh, a little redhead.
Yes. Rose, that puppy dog toy I showed you earlier came with a tiny little plastic Kong.
Oops. Yeah, it's going right in the mouth. Straight in la boca.
Okay.
No, in la boca. Okay. She's going to pick up the piece. Yeah. Yeah. Be careful. I get lodged right in there. Yeah. I know. It's hard. It's hard to be a parent.
We worked so hard to get them to 3.5. I'm not losing her to a Kong toy.
Oh my God. I tell you what, your guts are on the outside of your body now. And there's
the whole time.
Yeah. It's really hard. We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Okay, folks, now seems like a good time to just interrupt for one quick second to talk about donor sperm at California Cryobank. So some of you might not be thinking of going down the known donor path, and you might be thinking about going the sperm donor at a bank path, and I have a code for you. I have a discount. California Cryobank, number one sperm bank in the U.S., ships to over 40 countries, has a wonderful, wonderful catalog full of amazing donors. They are the cryobank that I use to make my babies. I love them. They are with you every step of the way. They have great customer service. I used it. I called them many times. And they are really doing the work when it comes to queer families. They offer such amazing perks like free vial storage options with their Family Today and Family Tomorrow programs. They also offer benefits like free vial transfer between partners and a personalized letter if you need it for second parent adoption, which we all should be getting. We should all get that second parent adoption right now, especially. And they do so much more. They have a vial buyback opportunity. They give you a digital donor keepsake of your donor, which ours is a folder because I made my babies a while back. But that folder gets taken out a lot because obviously we talk to our kids about their donors and sometimes they have questions. So we open it up. So it's great to have that stuff. I absolutely love California Cryobank, and I think you will too. So if you are looking to start building your family, or you just want to see what California Cryobank has to offer, you're going to go to cryobank.com. You're going to use code LOVEISLOVE, and it's going to give you a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. You can also use that code for a discount on their level 3 subscription. So it's a win-win either way. Go in there, start making the babies, and then come tell me about them because I love that. Okay, back to the show.
Love is love.
Okay, so donor contract is created. You found the right lawyer for you who helped you through the process. The clinic wasn't working, so then you decided what?
So we took a break. We got into a really bad car accident our last clinic cycle. I was actually in my 2-week wait, so I wasn't given any medication. And we had a lot of soft tissue damage. So we were out of work for about 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And my wife's beautiful niece was born 24 hours before the car accident. So her entire family was completely preoccupied with the birth of this.
And of course.
It was hard.
It's hard.
Because my brother-in-law got pregnant and announced it our first cycle at the clinic. So I kind of had to step away from that.
It hurts.
Somebody else's belly is growing and yours isn't doing like anything.
And I'm spending so much money and I'm taking all these drugs that they just tell me I have to because I happen to need this situation and nothing is happening for me. And I can't really talk about it to you because you don't really get it.
They don't. And like, we've tried to explain it to our parents. I still don't think her parents understand how we conceived their granddaughter. It's really not that hard, guys.
Don't worry. Rose will be able to tell her eventually.
Oh, my God. She is so good. She tracked ovulation for the second pregnancy, so she knows that mommy makes eggs like a chicken. So.
I love our queer family.
Thanks, Clear Blue.
Thanks, Clear Blue. So you pivoted, which is similar to what I did. I pivoted in one direction, and you pivoted in a totally different one.
Yeah, we totally pivoted. We healed. I ended up tearing my hip. I wouldn't find out for about 3 years.
Oof.
Ashley had a long-term breast infection that we dealt with during the pandemic. So she ended up with a full ductectomy on one side and a partial ductectomy on the other. We had a reoccurring breast infection that we couldn't clear up.
Oh, God, that sounds awful.
We were dealing with medical stuff. Well, but everybody was dealing with medical
stuff. The whole world was.
It's crazy, though, how like these things sync up. Ashley's last breast surgery was six weeks before our daughter was born.
Oh, wow.
Because her breast surgeon wanted her to be able to hold the baby.
Yeah.
She tried to time it to the due date. We started back up in January with the Mosey kit.
Okay, Mosey baby kit. Shout out to the Mosey baby. I need to make them be a sponsor.
Oh my gosh. It's amazing. And it's like, I've been waiting for years to do all these known, and you are like pounding out the known donor stories this season. It's amazing. Mosey baby kit for sure. I would drop his cups off at the on the first of every month. We used all these different strips and ultimately Clear Blue Advanced Ovulation gave us the 4-day window for both the pregnancies.
Okay, so Clear Blue was your go-to. If you had to recommend an ovulation predictor kit.
It was a Clear Blue Advanced Ovulation.
Okay, all right. Take that to know. I'm going to get them to sponsor this too.
It's a 4-day window. That's what my OBG said from the beginning. 3 months with those. So 7 months total at home, 7 months total at the clinic. So 14 cycles.
Right. So when you switched it to home, you were tracking your ovulation. Did you track for a while before you started trying?
Well, we've kind of been tracking this whole time. I think that sometimes we get crazy because like we're tracking when we're at the clinic, but we don't really need to. And I think it just makes us more crazy.
Right. Yeah. Right. Because they're tracking that for you. I mean, they're literally checking your follicles.
But like we're still checking at home.
Yeah, of course.
So we did that. And then I would give him a week, like, hey, I'm supposed to be ovulating next week. And then I give him 12 hours and then we would inseminate the next day after.
So you would drop off an empty cup like that Mosey baby gives you.
Yeah. They give you two syringes and two cups in every kit for like $150. And I would drop off both his cups on the first so that I was just ready for whenever I was ovulating that month.
And then you'd be like, okay, it's go time.
And then I would text him.
And then he would do his business. And then you would drop by and pick it up. Like, did you have to keep it warm or something? Like, what did you do?
He always like put it in a clean cloth and like put it in a bag and then came out like it was Coke, you know, like nobody's going to see. And like, he wasn't my friend. So I actually got to know him picking up sperm.
Hey, as you do, as you get to know a donor.
You just checked another lesbian box. I know. I was just like, I don't even know the guy. I like, he's not my friend and he's so tall, he's 6'3", I didn't realize either. So his arms would fill my window on the car. So for like the first year, whenever I thought of him, I thought of like his mouth and his chest and his arms handing me sperm. Now she's 3 and a half now, right? So like we have a completely different relationship. But when she came out, Ashley would say, oh, she looks like him. And I'm like, I don't see his face. All I see is like shoulders and chest.
Now when she reaches for you,
he's really bashful.
He's bashful.
It's all in the square shoulders. It was really ridiculous. I'd send him like the ETA on like Apple Maps.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably so anxious for him. He's so happy we're done with that.
What's the relationship? What was your agreement on what this relationship would be? Because your wife and he are very close. So how's...
We didn't always hang out with them, but they always texted each other.
Uh-huh. So they were...
Right. Yeah. So they're still close. It's changed. It's really changed. You know, so we got all the breast surgery stuff. We got pregnant during the pandemic. We lost our insurance. I did not have a great birth experience.
I'm sorry.
She's here. Mm-hmm. I did get my hip repaired last summer.
Okay, congrats.
Right. So Ashley got repaired from the car accident. I got repaired. We got our baby during the pandemic. I gave birth to her during the pandemic. I delivered it. My mom is a L&D nurse.
Oh, okay.
So my mom was able to be there for the pre-labor and she was able to hold the baby after my cesarean.
Oh, that's sweet.
And then we didn't have any visitors. We were in like the last week of COVID restrictions, which I think we're actually going to repeat for this baby.
Because it was nice just to have that time.
Like the nurses come in every 2 hours anyway.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, I had people were visiting and I was so dumb. I was like, oh my God, I look terrible. I put like tight jeans on one time.
No.
That was not a good idea. That was not a good idea. I do not recommend that. I think it messed me. Oh, then I got such terrible gas that I had gas in my like shoulders.
I didn't poop for like 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Because I had a C-section too. I have never felt the pain, that gas pain. I was crying. I was writhing on the bed and they would do nothing. They couldn't do anything for me. It was terrible. Don't put tight jeans on after you give birth.
No. I was really drugged out. I had a lot of magnesium. I think they were treating me for preeclampsia, but never officially. I had horrible prenatal care. I remember breastfeeding Rose. Ashley had to spoon feed her because she didn't want to drink because she was so sleepy from my med.
Oh.
And they kept trying to push formula on us.
Uh-huh.
Everybody kept like questioning her, but I was able to pump and she would spoon feed her. I don't remember anything from the first 3 days. Just gone. So Ashley really took like the newborn 3 days, just really just in stride in our freezing cold hotel room. She just did everything. I like woke up once like ice on my chest because my boobs were so
big.
Yeah,
because that shit hurts.
It was a mess.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It was a mess.
She's here and now you are navigating donor relationship. And I haven't really gotten the rundown from what the plan was like. On paper, what was the plan for what the relationship would be?
So he was supposed to stay anonymous until Rose decides to disclose.
Okay. But she would know from the beginning.
She would know from the beginning. So the idea was to introduce them around six, because like you do family stuff in first grade.
Right.
From what we understood, like that was kind of like the idea. Rose got really sick in February, and I get emotional about it. We had a tonsillectomy, and she has a bleeding disorder that was not, the donor and I are both factor five positive, which is not how she reacted in surgery, but something that we knew from our genetic testing back in 2017. Mm-hmm. Rose lost a lot of blood and had two post-surgical bleeds. So we had to go from North County, San Diego, down to downtown twice. Only locals wouldn't know what that means, but it's about a 30-minute drive that I made in about 20 mm-hmm. minutes. Public service announcement. If you cannot wait for an ambulance to pick you up and take you to the hospital, you can call 911 and Highway Patrol will meet you en route and escort you to the hospital.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
I did not know that. We did not know that. I just drove like a crazy person.
Next time, get the escort.
Next time, you guys, I want like everybody to know that.
Yeah.
If your child is in a life or death situation, you cannot wait that 8 to 12 minutes for the ambulance to arrive. And Rose was down to that 8 minutes. She lost 2 units of blood and needed a blood transfusion.
Oh my God. Okay. So.
So we called him, you know, to double check on family history in the middle of the night, because that's what we were doing. And he wanted to come down to the hospital, but he had only seen her once in 2 years. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't handle not taking her home and then having to like deal with him at the same time.
Right.
So we told him no. Uh-huh. And then we like felt really bad because it's his kid too.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, especially because we know him and we're texting him photos of her, and he had only had two opportunities to like hold her. Mm-hmm. And we almost lost that opportunity. Like we almost lost it, but we didn't. And she's safe and she's healthy.
Yeah. But you were dealing with a lot and you just couldn't add that extra like stressor in that moment.
No. And I think he understands. Right. And there's no animosity.
These are the things that need to be talked about. This is it right here.
Yeah, this is what we do.
Because you have something on paper, you have a plan.
Right.
And then you never know what's going to happen.
And something happens.
Right, exactly. So, okay.
Oh, it was super crazy.
Yeah.
And she talks about her blood transfusion all the time. She gives her animals blood transfusion. We go do labs. We're waiting to see if she does, in fact, have a platelet disorder. So this is not a genetic thing. This would be a her thing. So her cousins all know that she has silly blood in case something happens and we're not with her.
So then what happens with your donor? So what do you do? And this is not to say that you did not have a plan to talk to Rose about the donor, because you did say, you know, he was going to be anonymous, blah, blah, blah. You're not talking about anonymous to Rose. Like Rose is going to know Rose's origin story from always.
Is we talked about him a lot in the first 2 years because we wanted that auditory like history to kind of be in there. So she's really tall. She's the size of a 6-year-old.
Oh, wow.
And we blame him for things.
Yeah.
A lot. Like before they even met, like we were always blaming him. We're like, oh, well, she's tall because of him. So
yeah.
She would be like, oh, I'm tall like Uncle Daniel. But you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like we were dropping. There. What is
dropping
Dr. Laura said? Yes.
Lisa, the therapist.
Yes, Lisa. Yes. A month before her surgery, this is where it gets crazy. He had asked us to tell his parents. We thought that he told his parents that he was donating back in 2017.
Oh, see, this is the stuff right here.
He did everything he was supposed to do. He and his husband kept it completely to themselves.
Oh.
So 2 weeks before the surgery, his parents found out that they had another grandkid.
Oh, dum, dum, dum.
Her first interaction with Rose was the surgery. The grandma.
So they told grandparents or you told?
We let him handle that. His parents thought he was going to have cancer. He apparently brought a girl. It's a girl cannon and sat them all down at dinner.
That's how he told his parents. It was good news. It was good news, not bad news.
Because we also weren't planning on introducing her to them yet.
Right. It was going to be anonymous until she wanted. Right.
Right. Which is older than six.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So his dad is sick and is currently on the heart transplant list.
Oh, God.
Which is why he wanted to tell his parents.
Right.
So everything happened in February. Wow. They got put on the heart transplant and he's on it now, finally, officially.
Oh, okay.
So they find out about Rose in February. Rose immediately goes into the surgery, which was supposed to totally be routine,
mm-hmm.
and turned into a 7-day hospital stay.
Oh, my God.
So we started chatting with them online a little bit, tentatively. And we were like, okay, if you want your parents to meet her, you need to step up and be uncle.
Right.
So he's been trying to see her every 6 weeks since February. And okay. It's working out. We go to the zoo. He comes over. Yeah, I think totally quickly.
And things have changed from the original commitment you made to each other. So are you planning on changing in paper your agreement?
No, because the disclosure is still up to her. We still haven't really told our friends who the donor is. His parents aren't telling.
Right.
Outside of his sibling group. Do you know what I mean? We're not going on Facebook and saying, oh, we've got new grandparents. We've got a new granddaughter. That's all still very, but she did go over. She met them yesterday and one cousin.
So this is you're gaining a whole new side of the family in a way.
We call them outlaws because he signed paperwork and they're not in-laws. They're out of law. They're outlaws.
That's hilarious. So now that this is the thing with the known donors, and I'm not, this is not to say one way is right. I don't talk ethics. I'm not saying what's better, what's less than better, but there are more things that can come into the situation when you're using a known donor. So now you have grandparents and you have no idea.
With possibly political views that don't match, that, you know, we don't know them.
I feel like there needs to be some kind of agreement between grandparents.
So they have another grandchild that was born from one of the siblings that has been adopted out.
Oh,
and they see that grandchild.
Okay.
The grandchild believes that the grandparents are chosen family, not biological.
Got it.
And that child is going to have late disclosure. And that's not what we wanted for Rose.
Right. Well, because we talk about being open and honest from the start with our children.
This is why we listen to these stories.
Yes. So there's never a betrayal, right? I think it's beautiful. I think it's beautiful that grandparents want to be involved. I think it's awesome that you have more people.
Oh, his dad is so stoked.
Right. I think it's such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. And it also can be a little bit more complicated to establish, okay, what is this relationship going to look like? Where are your boundaries? Where are their boundaries? And they need to respect your boundaries, you know?
They seem very open to whatever boundaries we set in place. So his parents also fostered and adopted.
Oh,
and
wow.
There are seven siblings.
So
this was
one
all
of
things
us.
We kind of knew before right. going into this, because he was like, yeah, I'm going to help you guys. I love this. I don't have to raise the kid. It's going to look like me. He's such a
beautiful
guy.
Yeah.
Do you know? And his partner doesn't want kids. But he really likes Rose,
Aww. You
know, and again, I knew the donor's partner a year before Ashley, and Ashley worked with this guy, 50 hours a week for 8 years plus, and then maintained a relationship when he left their job. So it's not like these are people that we've known for over a decade before we even entered into this. So it was nuts, and it's weird to kind of change the agreement, but I think the legalities haven't changed. Ashley has a step-parent adoption. That's what we're going to do for the second mm-hmm. one. as well.
So you're pregnant right now with same donor's sperm. Did you use Mosey Baby Kit again?
I did on the first try.
Wow. Okay, Mosey Baby Kit coming in for the win.
I like in such utter disbelief after going through like 14 cycles.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was amazing.
I feel like I'm too old, but I feel like if I tried right now, I'd get pregnant. Even though it took me, if it took me 3 years, but I'm too old for that.
I'm going to be 40 when I deliver this one.
I turned 40 the next month. I was 39 when I gave birth to him.
Yeah, so I will definitely be 40, which is like super weird because I'm having a baby and my mom was like getting over the hill cards.
Uh-huh. I know. It's different now. It's
so different anyways.
But I just want to say, I think that it's so beautiful that first of all, obviously you're being open and honest and you did everything you need to do. You dotted your I's and you crossed your T's. I always mess that up. You did due diligence. You did everything that you need to do to make sure that the boundaries are set and you know what your family wants to look like. And then grandparents came into the picture. And grandparent, here's the thing, because I've spoken with a known donor. He is the donor.
Yeah, you had one like call in one time, right?
Well, he did an intro with me, but I had spoken with him like in like season one, way back in the day, about his situation. I'm gonna bring him back.
Somebody had mailed sperm across the state lines.
Oh, that was something else too. Yeah, that was a lesbian couple.
We thought about that for the Tennessee donor. Yeah. I was like, no, it just wasn't working. You know, whenever there's friction.
Yeah.
There's a reason why there's friction. And you have to pivot, right? Mm-hmm. Like we've been arguing about a new vehicle. And then we pivoted to a different make and model. And now there's no friction.
Pivot. Yeah.
You pivot. Anyway.
And listen, and on these baby making journeys, a lot of times we have to pivot and we have to go with the pivot. But what I love is because what I was going to say about Tom is the donor that I've spoken to and I'm close with. Tom finally did let his parents know. So here's the situation. I actually donated. There's three of them. I'm a donor. But his parents were like, we don't want to meet them.
See, that's really sad.
So what I want to say is it's really beautiful that you are gaining. This is what I say all the time with these known donors. Well, with these known donor situations, it comes with complications. However, the relationships that can form can be so profoundly beautiful and you just gain so much more family. And that makes me like slightly jealous every time I hear one that goes so well like this because we didn't go this route. But I just think it's absolutely beautiful. And now Rose met the grandparents.
And a cousin that she spent 3 hours with. There's seven cousins.
Wow.
So she's
got
the youngest.
A big family. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you didn't want donor siblings, but you got yourself a whole other family.
I know. Like we still had to learn 12 people's names. Like, so I guess it's the same.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So we have to see how it all unfolds and then we'll let them in on this baby, just like all the other grandparents. And he right now still wants to be called uncle. Mm-hmm. So she's calling him uncle. She calls both the boys uncle. She actually says that the husband is her boy story, not the donor. So they have to deal with that on their own.
She'll figure it out eventually. You're always dropping the seeds and then, you know, what she wants to call him might change someday.
Yeah, and we have to be prepared for that. But at the end of the day, there's no dad to replace.
Yeah.
We're not like a heterosexual couple where that is really an issue. I mean,
there's no
I'd like her to call him uncle. He's the most involved uncle. I mean, we both have a biological brother that aren't super involved. I have chosen family that also has an uncle that, you know, always comes with those nieces and nephews. So when she sees her donor, he's the only uncle that doesn't have any children.
Right. So he's cool uncle.
So he's the cool uncle because she has all of his attention. When he comes over, she dresses him up. He can't even say no. And he doesn't know how to interact with kids. So she gets her way because he's like, what do I do? And we're like, you interact with her. Go for it.
There you go. Have fun. We're going to just have a cocktail.
We're all in the same work industry. So she asks him who he groomed that day, and she asks us what we do, and one of his siblings, this is in the same industry, so when we went over to the house and they had some gifts for her, they were all animal oriented. You know, so the family seems pretty, but that's why we picked him, right?
Right.
That we were
right.
hoping that it was pretty well matched. And I feel like, you know, when you're looking at those books and you just wonder who's on the other side of that serial number. And I think that anytime something comes up, we're happy to have him a text away. And Ashley's rights are completely locked down.
You got it all figured out. Right. And it's working out.
In the case that the Supreme Court does revisit our two rulings, our lawyer can expedite that second parentage. Because in California, second parent adoption only costs $35, but it's contingent on our marriage being valid.
Right. So you got to do it now.
Our lawyer is not telling us to run and do the second. So we've got the step parent adoption. She's not telling us to do the second parent adoption unless SCOTUS revisits the two rulings. And they would have to revisit and overturn both those rulings to effect.
Which is far, it's far-fetched, but you know, who knows?
We sent her an email and double-checked. And California just passed Prop 3, so our marriage is now safe in our state.
Safe for good. But and also in the past, if I'm correct, like just the step-parent adoption would have been enough. We wouldn't have to do the extra thing.
Yeah, we only have the step-parent adoption because it goes in conjunction with our marriage license and it gives her the same parentage. We've been together 16 years. But in the case, yeah, that would give her custody. That would give her.
Right, right.
Well, I own the business, so I guess I'd be paying child support.
Or, you know, like God forbid, sorry to bring this up, but what if you're in another car accident?
And then we also have a living will that states who she should go to.
Exactly.
So right. That's so something our lawyer made sure that, right.
All of us right now need to
be doing this.
That all of this is set in motion. And I don't know like how quickly we should do it. In my mind, I'm like, oh my God, I got to make sure I have everything right now. And for you, the step-parent adoption is good to hold off until baby number two comes at least. And then you can do them both together, right? So it's just like...
Her step-parent adoption was done during the pandemic.
Great.
There are no judges in San Diego that are denying same-sex couples the step-parent adoption. And I know that that's not the case in other states.
Yeah. Everybody needs to. Due diligence is like my thing right now. Do your due diligence.
We got it sent back. In California, you're not allowed to adopt native children. So we needed to get a signature from him after birth stating that he wasn't of any native heritage.
Oh, wow.
Which was kind of a weird thing, but not weird. Because I get it. I understand the need for it. And
right,
we
yes.
literally did a notary and her adoption was finalized before she was 9 months old.
Great. Yeah. Well, the step-parent thing is a wonderful thing. And that seems like an easier route to go.
It definitely.
And so if you can do that, get it done. And then also...
If we lose our marriages, she needs that order of second parentage.
So you also have to do that. So these are things to think about right now. Unless something happens and something miraculous. I just keep hoping for a miracle and Kamala ends up in the house
like
anyway.
A couple heart attacks maybe.
I don't even know. Like, I don't even know what could happen, but I just keep hoping something went wrong. We're just going to wake up.
We had been explaining all the politics. So we watch a lot of Paw Patrol.
Uh-huh.
And Kamala looks like Mayor Goodway, and Trump looks like Mayor Humdinger.
Oh.
And so Rose wasn't understanding why we were so upset after the election, because in Paw Patrol, Humdinger apologizes when he's naughty.
Oh.
So she said, well, maybe Humdinger will just apologize and learn to be nice. Uh-uh. And I was like, I wish. In this one case, that Trump was actually Humdinger.
God,
do you know what I mean? Because, like, Trump will not apologize and be nice.
I keep coming back to this, too. When someone shows you who they are, when they tell you who they are, believe them the first time,
I know.
Y'all.
And so we've kind of just stopped. But she was listening to the politics, too, and we were all really optimistic.
It's tough.
But I felt that way in 2008 when I told Ashley, I was like, we need to get married. We might not have this chance. And we didn't get the chance for almost a decade.
Right. And we were fine.
Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So that was 2008 we were talking about our marriages. Because we've been together that long. So it's nuts.
We're going to make it through. We're a strong community and we're always going to be here. Like, you can't erase us.
I know. We've always been here. So it's just, it's nuts.
Yeah.
You know, and so we'll see.
Cover every single demographic. We are there.
There really is. I think, I looked it up. There are 200,000 minors being raised by queer couples in the United States.
I love it. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going.
Just made another one. So
yay.
We'll see her in the spring. Well, we'll see them. We don't know what's in there yet.
Okay. Well, that's exciting. It's very exciting. This is them in there. There's somebody.
They're coming. And she's really excited. So she keeps asking every time we leave the house, she asks if we're coming back with the baby. I'm like, no. Mommy's going to get real big. And we go to Disneyland and we have passes.
That's amazing.
Coincidentally, so does the paternal grandmother. She's very excited at that prospect.
Oh, see, this is great. So you have
it's crazy.
Relationship.
Yeah,
going.
There's some commonality. It's have to check back in 6 months and I'll have to bring her on.
Keep
and
me
see
posted.
We were telling them yesterday about some of the stuff that he did for us, and they just had no fucking idea.
They're like, oh my God, our son is such a great guy.
Yeah, right. He's not that great, guys. He's sort of great. He's just, right, what do we put them on pedestals, right? Because there are donors.
Right, right.
So when
right,
you
right.
know the donor, you're reminded that he's just a dude. Our donor is constantly late, 30 minutes, guaranteed. We tell him the wrong time for places. We're going to let him be at the next private ultrasound. Mm-hmm. Ashley will literally tell him an hour before the appointment and we'll see if he's still on time. So not on a pedestal, definitely. Just a dude that was super helpful. Just a dude. That only has obligations to our kid.
But he's got red hair, so yeah. Winning.
Yeah, and green eyes.
And
is 6'3", which is why she's so tall.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool. It's amazing. Thank you so much. This has been such a great conversation. I don't want to take up any more of your time.
No, yeah, I've got to get going. I appreciate it.
Thank you for everything you do for the podcast. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah.
And this is special. This was a fun one.
Queer Family Podcast.
A huge, huge thank you once again to California Cryobank for sponsoring this here little show for an entire year of episodes. Go to cryobank.com, use code LOVEISLOVE, and get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Go do it. Let's make those babies and uplift these queer families, y'all. Thank you.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.